Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
I always have another gear that I can drop into. And now I have. No, it's never going to end. Get used to it. Or, you know, go do something else. Speaking of people doing other things, unemployment rates in our region and across much of Canada, higher and worse in the 2008 financial crisis, the prospect of yet another lockdown or similar lockdown-type provisions weighing heavily on the minds of small business owners here in the Victoria area and beyond. Meanwhile, the Rising Economy Task Force, it's a multi-organization committee representing a number of different sectors across our region, released a plan on Monday morning to reboot the Victoria or Greater Victoria economy. It's amazing, actually. If we look at what has happened, what has transpired, as well as the bridge that we need to still build at this point to get across this chasm before we even start rebuilding. As I look on screens in front of me and I see Ontario adding another 1,000 cases of COVID-19, another 14 deaths in just the last 24 hours. Here in British Columbia, our numbers stabilizing week over week in terms of new cases, but still, we're between the high 500s and low 700s. That is well beyond what we saw in the beginnings of the pandemic. Our positivity rate now higher than it was then, suggesting that it is not a mirage caused by more testing. It's simply that there are far more people being infected by COVID-19. Emily DeRosenroll joining us, CEO, South Island Prosperity Partnership. Good morning and thank you for your time.
Good morning, Adam. Thanks for having me here.
Monday was when this plan was released, a blueprint for the future. What are we looking at?
Well, of course, no one has a crystal ball, and that's not what the report's all about, but it is about getting the community together and looking at what are the best ways that we can really move the needle from relief to recovery and build more resilience into our economy, and to do that collaboratively, and to do that collectively, and to figure out what's going to really make things happen in the shortest span of time.
So what are those things we can do?
Well, we actually started off, so we had over 120 different stakeholders a part of this overall process. So the task force was broken into 10 different sector committees, from everything spanning from ocean and marine to education and skills development to the Indigenous economy, and so on. So really all of the major drivers of Greater Victoria's local economy. And they each were really given autonomy to look at what is really going to be best positioning each sector for recovery, and how do we, essentially reboot each of these sectors and figure out which are the ones that are the hardest hit, because that's been a really major theme for all of us, is that this is a really mixed reality that we're seeing.
Yeah.
So that's really a lot of what we're seeing, is how do we then find practical recommendations that will move the needle, as I said. So some of the examples I could give you are an Indigenous Economic Development Office. And that is based on, we've had lots of conversations with First Nation groups and Indigenous leaders. And, of course, we're thinking about things like the digital transformation. How do you move these businesses online? And a lot of Indigenous communities don't even have access to broadband. They don't have Wi-Fi connections.
So, here on the South Island?
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely true, yeah.
I wasn't aware.
Yeah. So a lot of the sort of basics that we take for granted are, 10 times harder in quite a few of the Indigenous communities in the South Island.
Interesting. What else have we got in terms of recommendations? Because I think that's a relatively easy one that we should get on right away. I think most people would be shocked to hear that broadband internet is considered a luxury not available to some, even here on the South Island.
Yeah. Well, and also transportation connections. Like, that's another area, not that we should get into that right now, but having access to even proper transit isn't available to some of the Indigenous communities. So how do you get to your job? And now digital connectivity is the same thing as a bus, to get to your job. You need to be able to access online tools to be able to be part of the workforce. Another example would be the digital skills. Really been working on something called micro-credentials. And micro-credential is a fancy word that we're going to hear a lot more about these days. But it's essentially how do we upskill or reskill or rapidly skill people in a matter of months as opposed to years, and get them so that they can really not go back for a four-year degree, but be able to transition out of one sector and into another one when maybe there's not a lot of employment around, or they simply need to be upskilled so that they, when they go back to work, they can be earning higher wages than they were before. So we're looking at, we're actually working with all of the post-secondaries in the South Island, Camosun College, Royal Roads, UVic, and we've got this fabulous community. The institutions aren't competitive. They're really collaborating with one another. How do we recognize each other's credentials? How do we share and pool together content so that the learners can really pick and choose the topics that are most compelling to them, and do that in a way that's faster and more flexible and agile.
Is there a way that we can rapidly reskill, say, 22,000 people who work either directly or indirectly in the tourism sector here in Victoria, given that we don't really have many tourists? Because the scale is just massive.
Yeah, well, you're hitting the nail on the head with that's one of our really most devastated sectors, and it's a sector that we depend on a lot, what we call, the GDP of the region for our economic, prosperity. So certainly, just to contextualize that for a second before I answer that question,
yes.
BC, we've seen unemployment rate double, but Greater Victoria's unemployment rate at the height tripled, where we were actually the lowest, had the lowest unemployment rate in the country a year ago.
Yeah.
So that, like, to think that we're not, exposed and reliant on tourism isn't right. Sometimes we think we're a government town and we're doing totally fine, or construction or real estate's doing fine. So there must be, we must be okay. But that's not entirely true.
No. It's you're absolutely correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So in particular, so how do we actually focus on upskilling those folks? Well, I think that if you have lost your job, there has been programming available to you that you, for example, we launched already and completed a micro-credential with Alacrity Foundation sponsored.
Oh, are you there? I lost you for a moment. Oh, there you are. Sorry, you broke up for a moment. Can I get you to please repeat that?
Sorry. I was giving an example.
A little bit of a spotty cell connection here. Are you there?
All right.
Oh, there you are. You seem to be having a problem with the phone line for our guest. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to drop this line, and if I can get our producer to kindly reestablish contact with our guest over the phone, a number of different facets being presented in this report. It's called Reboot, Greater Victoria's Economic Recovery Plan, was released on Monday. I'm going to ask about urban vitality and safety, which our audience, if they're following along at home, can find on page 33 of the report. Emily DeRosenroll is the CEO of the South Island Prosperity Partnership. So sorry about that phone line breaking up. You were in the middle of a great explanation, but then you dropped off. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Adam. Sorry, technology isn't always our friend.
All right. But I apologize as well. If I could give you back the floor so you could finish your point.
Sure. So we completed a program this summer with Alacrity Foundation, and also supported by the BC government, and it was with a focus on digital marketing. Digital skills, digital fluency is something that we found is actually necessary in all sectors, so including very much tourism. So this is a program that was available for free for people that were unemployed or underemployed, and it wasn't focused necessarily on tourism workers, but we definitely had folks from tourism look at, they took that program, it allowed them to then be able to reintegrate in the workforce doing something that is still available to tourism, digital marketing, reaching audiences online.
Yeah.
So that's just an example of how do you, get somebody that perhaps was working on something that was lower skilled and then get them back with a job that is going to give them higher wages. Okay. And be a bit more resilient to these kinds of downturns.
I'm reading page 33 right now. Urban vitality and public safety. It talks about investing in preventing this type of human suffering in terms of urban homelessness, drug addictions, mental health challenges. It says public spaces, including parks and downtown centers, should remain functional and beautiful while benefiting from new policies that increase public safety and the vitality of local commerce. What does that mean?
I think a lot of what we found is that, the economy is very local. Like, it's very personal. It's about, it starts at the main street, and the vitality of the main street is something that is something that we need to all pay attention to. And the impact that we're seeing on bricks and mortar businesses, retail, restaurants, et cetera, has been really huge. And we've all seen that. If you walk around downtown Victoria in particular, you see some of this, some of the devastation that's actually occurred with the smaller businesses in our community. And I think this point is really acknowledging that we need thriving local businesses. We need thriving streetscapes that would encourage safety. They encourage more people to want to be around, more commerce to occur, et cetera. Of course, this is all really challenging to do during a pandemic. But I think that the point being is that we're going to be coming back from this. We're going through a second wave right now, but we will all survive through this. And how do we make sure that we don't lose sight that the vitality of our streetscape and our main streets is something that has a huge impact on our quality of life, and we need to do whatever we can to support local.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I've worked downtown at CFAX off and on for 14 years now, and I don't recognize the downtown core that I knew 14 years ago. And I talk to people all the time. They say exactly the same thing. I'm not sure how we get it back, but it has changed a lot.
It has, and so what we talk about with COVID as well, it's been what we call it, the great magnifier. So if there were things that were already, like trends that were underway already, those have just been massively accelerated. So retail, to be fair, was already being, it's been massively challenged by the big box store, and then more recently by online commerce. So this has just made, 5 years of technology disruption occur in a matter of months. But, that's not the whole picture. So I think part of it is we need to help our businesses adapt to online marketplaces, because that's where the trends were going even prior to COVID. But then the other aspect of that is that we of course need to be supporting local in any way, shape, or form we can. And we should, we should feel that those are our neighbors we're supporting. That's important to our livelihoods, our quality of life.
Yep. Absolutely. Emily DeRosenroll, CEO, South Island Prosperity Partnership. We apologize for any telephone difficulties. Thank you for joining us and staying a few minutes later. Any final thoughts?
Well, if you can, take a look at the Reboot Report. It's on our website. And take a look. There's probably a lot of organizations in there that you can support. And it's going to really take the whole community to make a difference. So thank you all. I appreciate the time to be able to speak to your audience. Thanks, Adam.
Absolutely. Here, I'll fire the link out on my Twitter account. That should help some people find it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Have a great day. Bye now. All right, folks, time for open lines. 250-386-1161, *1070, a free call on your wireless device. You can weigh in on that or any other matter we've discussed on the show recently right after this.